Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Portugal the Man rocks the anthem in Washington, D.C. tomorrow night. I spoke to frontman John Gourley about his journey from growing up in Alaska as the son of dog sledding parents to eventually recording the Grammy-winning hit Feel It Still. Hey, John Gourley, hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in Washington, D.C.
Of course. Yeah, we are here.
Wait, are you actually here yet, or are you still on the tour bus or anything?
We're close.
You're on the way. By the time people hear this, yeah. I'm sure you'll be in town. Yes, you're the front man of Portugal the Man, coming to the anthem there at the wharf on the waterfront on Saturday. The anthem's arguably the biggest, coolest spot to play in DC. Have you played that spot before? Do you know?
Yeah, it's kind of one of the raddest venues in the country, honestly. I mean, that's kind of a stop that every band looks forward to is, I mean, we're playing 930 Club, Anthem, just hitting these shows. It's always the highlight of everybody's tour. It's funny, how many Anthem and 930 Club shirts and hoodies you see among crew members as you travel around at festivals. Everybody's repping.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, the 930 obviously has all that history built in from decades. But then when they opened the anthem, it was the same, same group, IMP. And I remember Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl, because he's from around here. I went to that first concert, and man, it's just been gangbusters since. It's doing great. Well, welcome back. I'm glad that you're coming back. What can we expect from this particular show? I'm sure you sprinkle in the hits, the Feel It Stills, all that stuff. But anything new you break out to, or give us a tease of the set if you can.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess we've kind of looked at the way we've been doing things over the last few years. It's we typically string songs together and have a lot of these big transitions. And this tour, we felt like we just wanted to fit in as many songs as possible. So we have a pretty long set list. We're trying to play through as many different albums and different songs as we can.
Yeah, people forget that you have, I guess 9 studio albums at this point? So that's going to be hard to, how do you pick and choose? That's going to be hard.
We have a lot of records. I remember looking online at one point during the last big run that we did, and people were like, man, they just play covers. They just play these big epic suites. And, I think it's just good for practice for us to just get on stage and just say, I think we can play 25, 26 songs.
Yes.
In an evening and still feel like we got a lot out there. So
yeah,
that's what we've been doing. We've just been playing as many songs as we can in a night.
I love it. Wait, I don't mind a good cover, a live show. I love when my favorite bands, you want to hear the ones, but I love when they cover it. What are some of the cool killer covers that you've done? What bands do you usually pay homage to?
Dang, dude. So we do Metallica, we do Slayer, Pantera, lots of Bowie. We've done a lot of Bowie, Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. We kind of throw in a lot of different things. It really came about touring through Germany way back on our first record. We were traveling through, and man, I remember we showed up with a 30-minute album and asked, what's a typical set? We didn't even realize we were headlining. We just showed up. We're like, oh my God, we're the only band. We're headlining. How does this work? And they say, well, play at least an hour. And we go, we have a 30-minute album. We don't even have that much music. So I just started stretching things out, and I would just sing whatever Beatles song I was thinking of when I wrote the track. And it just that is such a huge part of Portugal the Man. And in these sets, what we've been doing is we've been incorporating the band Snack Time, who's opening up for us. It's a this brass band out of Philly who is just the absolute sickest, like it's such rippers, such shredders, and they're just jumping up and playing like over half the set. We have like a full brass section, so yeah, it should be pretty incredible. It's really really fun playing these sets with all this extra accompaniment and really lifting up a lot of these songs.
I love it. You said Snack Time was the band?
Snack Time, yeah.
Awesome. I love the name. Well, speaking of which, where does the name Portugal the Man come from? And the little period too. It says Portugal period the man. Are you just trying to mess with us, or is there is there a
Oh,
method
it's so
behind the
annoying.
madness? Everyone asks it
We
probably
are
too.
so annoying. Yeah, so the name came from it. So I'm like extremely introverted growing up. My parents are dog sled mushers, grew up in Alaska. I wanted to start this project, but I knew I couldn't do it by myself. I just didn't feel comfortable enough on stage. So I decided that I would get together with my friends. I would form this group of people, but it's kind of a solo project at the same time. So to represent that, I just said, oh, I'll pick a country to represent it. It's a singular voice in the world that represents a group of people. And in picking it, Portugal was just the furthest place from Alaska to me. It was on the other side of the globe.
And why the period?
The period was to stay. I at the time, just to be clear, I am a dropout. Like I didn't do high school. I dropped out after sixth grade to do homeschool for 2 years. Tried to go back, and I'm giving you my grammar
Oh,
and take
gotcha.
on
Your
this.
grammar
So
excuses.
it was. I was just thinking, Portugal's the name, period, and he's the man.
Okay, so Portugal, period. He's the man.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You gotta pause when you say it, maybe.
Yeah.
All right,
Portugal,
cool. For
the man.
punctuation, I love it. And real quick, I gotta double back. Well, I read this fact before you hopped on here, but I'm glad you mentioned it. So I want to double back to it really quick. So you said your parents were dog sledders. So because you were born in Willow, Alaska, in 1981. So what's that like having parents being dog sledders? Like, are your dog like you know most people? I mean, a lot of kids grow up with a pet dog or whatever, you know, but it's their pet. Maybe they're hunting dogs or something like that. But what's it like to watch your actual pet dog? Then they take them out and compete at tournaments, or how does that work?
Yeah, they ran the Iditarod sled dog race, ran the Yukon Quest. My dad was race marshal, looking after the other teams and the dogs on the Iditarod sled dog race. I mean, it felt normal to me. It's a lot like growing up on a farm, I would say. Like I just there's a lot of sleep habits that are lifelong for me, which are. I'm a really light sleeper because you're used to listening for moose outside. You're used to listening for moose getting into the dogs, like hearing what's happening at night. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, dude, I didn't realize people slept past 6 in the morning until I was in like my friends were like high school age. So like, I didn't realize friends would come over and I'd be like, "Why are you sleeping? Like it's 8 o'clock. Like."
The sun's been
How
up
are
for
you sleeping
hours.
so late? I just didn't realize people slept that long. And actually, in DC, we have a ton of Alaskan friends coming out for this show. They're doing a protest against the Ambler Road build up in Alaska, and
The
we're gonna have
what
a
are they
lot of Alaska.
protesting?
Ambler Road. They're proposing this road that goes across the state of Alaska, and it gives access to. From everybody on the outside to this like hunting land and just the potential to divert caribou herds and I mean just the way this works is it's just not great for Alaskans. I mean we've gone out there, we've seen what these mines do to the land, see what they do to the people when outsiders have access out there. Just keeping Alaska for Alaskans.
Well, they actually played up some of those themes in, I don't know if you watched it, just the season 4 finale was just this past week Sunday. In True Detective season 4, they played in, because it was in the night country. But I guess it was even further north. They were like in polar night all the time. There was no daylight. But
Totally.
did you catch that? There was some like social commentary of like, the miners and the government and even the law enforcement were sort of all in cahoots, and we won't spoil the conclusion, but did you catch
We don't need to spoil it, but yeah,
it?
it is a really serious issue. Missing and murdered Indigenous women. What happens when folks come into these towns? It is pretty lawless, and you feel very helpless as Alaskans out there.
Wow. All right. And then, so how do you know? So that's some serious heavy stuff. And the dog sledding is a cool, painting your backstory. But like, what does the music start coming in? Like, what do you listen to growing up there? I mean, I assume, what is it? It's you were born in 81, so I guess your like formative music years are like late 80s, early 90s.
It's so funny. Like I did not listen to the 80s. I actually don't know a lot of 80s and 90s music. My dad had actually moved up in 71. So he's basically right out of high school. My dad goes up to Alaska, goes out into the woods. And the whole thing was the back to the land movement, learn where we come from and learn how to live off the land. And that's what he came up to do. So he came up to live off the land. So all of the music, it was things that reminded him of New York and where he and my mom come from. He and my mom are from the same little town, Morrisville, upstate New York. And it was all Motown. So we grew up on Motown. We grew up on Sam Cooke. We grew up on Roy Orbison, Gene Pitney.
Nice.
I mean, a lot of Frankie Valli, like that's where like a lot of the falsetto comes in. Like all these great women, like all women groups. I mean, that's where Mr. Postman came in with Feel It Still. These are all like really great childhood memories of mine, just driving around listening to this really great era of music. And me making music came out of playing hockey. Like eventually I start like we have to come into town. I have to like socialize with kids, and this is necessary for this kid, so they get me into sports. I go play hockey, and I remember hearing Oasis. I remember the first time I heard Champagne Supernova. That was the first Oasis song I ever heard, and I
Wow.
went, oh my God, I thought all the best music had been made before this point. And I realized like, oh, you're just doing the Beatles. You're just actually like doing the Beatles right now. Heard Nirvana, here Smells Like Teen Spirit. Hear that and I go, oh, it's John Lennon. And then I hear this group Wu-Tang Clan. And what I heard in hip hop was this, I was connecting to it because I'm connecting to that mic selection, that amp selection, it's all so small at the time. So I may not know the song that they're sampling, but I know that tone. I know the sound of that guitar. I know the sound of that piano. I know the sound of that mic on that piano. And it was just connecting with these things and saying, oh my God, so you just do the Beatles. You do the Beatles today. And Wu-Tang, you sample, essentially sample the Beatles, and you make something new and something fresh on top of it. And it's just getting together with your friends and making some music. That's what
Wow.
it should be.
I love it. And you're so right. I mean, it all just stems back to that stuff. In your case, Motown or Beatles, and people just riff on it, and then now there's people riffing on Wu-Tang. You know what I mean? Like every generation, they just keep piling on and adding new layers, but it really all traces back to the, Roy Orbison. And I love that you're saying Feel It Still, the whoo, the falsetto of Rebel Just for Kick, the falsetto, it goes back to Frankie Valli and Roy Orbison and all those greats. I love hearing that.
Totally, totally. That's where everything comes from. I mean, it's all about like music to me is about little bits of progress. And personally, like I don't like the rules set in place by copyrights and like the way all this stuff works. I believe in honoring songwriters. I mean, this was like the whole conversation when we did that. That is Mr. Postman. Essentially, it is. It's a different song. It's a completely different song. But I really wanted to honor the people that came before us.
I love it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
And speaking of people that came before you, didn't you have an original band called Anatomy of a Ghost before any of this?
Yes, I did.
How do you think that helped cut your teeth and prepared you for Portugal, period, the man?
Oh, man, that band, we went into it with just an extreme work ethic.
Yeah.
And I think, so that band is very much like exactly what you think a band is supposed to be. It is. Five friends, and we all like different things. Dewey likes hardcore, Joe likes Led Zeppelin, you know, Nick likes hip hop, like John likes the Beatles and all these other things. And so like I would work on arrangements, but I wasn't really in charge of like direction on it. And that was Nick and Joe. And you know, like the biggest thing I took from that is I think it's really important to have some direction when you go in and really be able to like look to somebody and say, okay, where are we going with this? You know, like who is kind of like the barometer, like who is like the taste in this? And Portugal ended up being that for me, you know, because I felt it was really important that was like the one missing piece for me. But we had so much fun just traveling around. We toured with this band, Fear Before the March of Flames, and Gatsby's American Dream, and Bear vs. Shark. And we had these, I mean, just such fun touring times. We were so Alaskan too. We were like, there is a no drinking rule on tour. Like, we are at work. We are going to work. We do not drink when we're on tour. And Abby was like,
I love hearing
really
that.
Serious.
I love hearing that because so many bands go and get, you know, ass-faced. And it must be hard, too. You know, people, you know, my wife was in a band for many years. And, you know, people just offering drinks up on the stage. She's like, no, I got to sing. So like, I got to stay, you know, I got to stay with it. So I admire that about you. Bravo.
Totally. I mean, that's the way we did it. And this band definitely went off the rails at one point. So it is, I think they're really great sets of rules to, like, adding structure to something that is so like it's so free and so fun and so like I think it actually like helped us as like pretty wild, reckless Alaskan kids to have like kind of like a rule that we set in place ourselves. You know, it gave us some structure, some discipline.
Yeah, well, you can't be those wild, reckless, you know, hockey players. I'm like, you know, Slapshot or Letterkenny, you can't be that your whole life.
Yeah, and that
at least
was,
while you're touring,
trust me.
In your spare time, you can do what you want.
Yeah, no, we were definitely that band. Like,
that's great. We're
pretty wild.
By the way, speaking of which, what is your hockey team in Alaska? Like, who do you root for? I guess, you know what I mean. Like, because is it a Canadian team? Would it be like the Canucks? Like, what's the closest?
You know, I think my family were like we dug the Blackhawks.
Okay.
That was just like my team growing up. I was number 27, Jeremy Roenick. Like I was that was me. And we were the Mattsu Eagles. That was the team that I played for. I still have my jersey, man. Like it I wore it in the What Me Worry music video.
Wait, like the Pee Wee hockey jersey or like high school, you mean?
Like little kids.
That's
like
awesome.
My little kid hockey jersey.
That's great. Well, you know what? I mean, we're about the same age. I was born in 84. But so, yeah, you would have been 11 when the Mighty Ducks came out.
Oh, yeah.
So oh, Gordon, yeah. Coach Gordon Bombay was probably a big influence on you.
Big, massive, massive in the Valley.
Flying V, Triple Deke, all that stuff. And then and Kenan Thompson in the sequel, Knuckle Puck. Who knew he would go on to SNL and all that?
Yeah.
Well, now we're very much taking a tangent.
Very much. But this is good. This is good. Alaskans do love their hockey.
Absolutely. But so yeah, but so you met all those guys and you formed in Alaska, but aren't you now sort of based out of Portland? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, so when I left Alaska, I never really intended to leave Alaska. It was essentially for touring. I mean, Zoe and I, we never even had a place. We lived in the van up until 2011. It was essentially right before we had our daughter Frances. We just lived in a van. Yeah. And it was having Francis that we realized, like, oh, we need some stability, but we still need to be able to tour. So we have a place in Portland, but also live in Alaska.
Okay.
And I mean, we're like working on getting back there right now, and I just cannot wait.
And it's Wasilla, right? So that's you can see Russia from your house.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice callback.
It's like, yes.
That's been some years.
It has been. It has been. Still around, surprisingly.
And culture has never been the same. I feel like it just keeps going and spiraling in a polarized way ever since. Before we go, I do have to ask, Feel It Still. You know, you mentioned it a little bit that it was the Marvel at Please Mr. Postman. But we got to tell everyone, it won you the Grammy for Best Pop Duo Group Performance. So what was it like, you know, these kids from Alaska, you know, you're playing hockey and listen to your parents yell mush to dog sledders. Now you're in a room with all these, you know, people in tuxedos and going up on stage. They call your name like that. That must have been like get here.
Yeah, you know what? Like, we had been sitting backstage and like we were just like, okay, like management, everybody's trying to like sit down, like help us. Like, what if we win? Like, and we're like, we're not gonna win. We're up against Esposito and Justin Bieber. Like, we're not gonna win.
Yeah.
But we're trying to write this little speech, and as they're sitting there, like I'm just kind of like listening to it. I'm hearing it go down. It's like, oh, thank, like here's the list of people that worked on it. Thank you, you know, John Hill, Ace Ticone, like all these folks.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there hearing it, and I go, you know what? Like, that's not even what this is about. This band has never been about that. And I rewrote that speech like right before we walked out, which is like, Zach, we have to thank those kids out in Bethel and Barrow and Shishmaref. And that's the reason I made this music. I made this music because I grew up in these small villages, these small towns, and isolated. And it made me feel like I was a part of something when I would hear these songs. When I would hear music that was made in Detroit and DC, like when I, like the first thing I learned how to play and sing on guitar was Minor Threat by Minor Threat. Mm. I mean, that was the first thing I asked Zach to show me.
Yeah.
That's what that stuff is about for me. It's about those kids that are out there still, those kids that inspired me to make music, that I sang along with this music with, you know.
Yep. And you never know who young listener is you're going to be inspiring when they come out to the show at the Anthem. And you know, they might be some young guy might, you know, 20 years from now be on an interview with either me or some other young schmuck and saying I remember going to see Portugal the Man at the Anthem, and you know, yeah, seriously, it goes down through the generations. Music is magical that way.
That's what it's about. That's what it's all about.
what it's all about. Well, hey, you've been generous with your time. I really, really appreciate it. Everyone, again, Portugal the Man is coming to the Anthem in Washington, D.C. This Saturday. So not much time left. You got to get those tickets, folks. Hey, thanks for doing this, John Gourley. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you. Can't wait. Seriously, shout out, because usually, you know, we sort of, you know, we tease the show and do like a chronological journey through all the albums and stuff. But with you, man, it was like so many interesting stuff of dog sledding and Mighty Ducks. And you just we kind of ping ponged around, but it was kind of fun, loose in a way.
I love it, man.
All right. Be well. See you soon.
Yeah, thank you all. So see you guys soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.